for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the first service of the Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Thursday evening, September the 2nd, 1999. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the minister of the evening.
Amen. Let's all pray. Father God, we bless you tonight. We thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us strength to be here tonight, Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God. The Holy Ghost has brought us here. We're not here by accident. Lord God, we're here because of you. And we thank you for your presence, your anointing, your power. We thank you for your people. And Lord, we thank you for this word. Thy word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. The very entrance of this word gives light. And in light we have light. We thank you for the holy light of the Holy Ghost, Lord, tonight. And we bless you and we bless your people. And we all said, amen. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus, you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad to be here. I want to hear what our sister has to say. Because I've read some of her books and I've really enjoyed the things in those books a long time ago I read. How many believe that we must obey God?
Amen.
I said, how many believe we must obey God? Amen. Praise God. Let's go over to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I didn't know I was going to share on this tonight until I got to Hot Springs. I had another word I felt I was going to share, but when I come in the city, about the city there, the Spirit began to give me another word. How many know He's the great teacher? We're nothing. He's everything. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
We're just His vessel, but He's everything. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to look at verses, in verse 6, Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered. How many know that we might be offered in this hour?
Yes.
How many believe there's going to be some martyrs in this hour?
Yes.
And Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. I'm going to be an offering unto the Lord, if I can say that. And the time of my departure is at hand. He knew his time was up here in the earth at that time. How many know God can show us even that?
Yes.
Is that true? Now then he said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in the rapture. No, at that day, the day of the Lord. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Now, a lot of people talk about the coming of the Lord, but he said we must love His appearing. How many know that appearing starts in you first? And then we'll be out there. Praise God. And so, we not only should love His appearing, but we must be like Him when He appears. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And we must be looking for His appearing. Praise God. Now, Paul said that he was being offered up there in verse 6. And then he said something else. He had fought something. What did he fight? Come on, help me there now. He had fought a good fight. How many know that's the fight of faith? And he had fought the fight of faith. And then he did something else. He finished his course. And the Bible said in Acts 20, he did it with joy. He wanted to finish that course with joy. How many believe we need faith tonight and we need joy? And then he said something else here. He said also in that verse of Scripture there, I have kept the faith. He was faithful to God, wasn't he? So he fought, he finished, and he was faithful to God. Now, how many know that God's called some of us here to the ministry? And I believe the Lord is sending a warning tonight to some of us. that some have not obeyed God in this room. How many believe you're called by God, you better obey God? Whatever ministry that is, or the fivefold ministry. And God wants obedience. Somebody say amen. Strict obedience unto Him. And it's dangerous not to obey the Holy Ghost and the Lord and what He really wants if we rebel against Him. Somebody say amen. If God's called you to be an evangelist, say, for 20 years, and you get behind for 10 years and you don't do what you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden you get the vision, how many know you got some catch-up to do? There is responsibility to be in any kind of ministry God's given you. And how many know we've got to be faithful to do that? Amen. And so, look in verse 10 there. He says something. He said in verse 10, if you'll notice, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, Demas was a minister. He was a fellow minister with Paul. He traveled with Paul. He ministered with Paul. And yet he said, this man has forsaken me, having loved this present world. There was an attraction. The world attracted something in his heart, I should say. There was something in Demas, amen, that liked the world, that loved the world. And so he left Paul. He turned from the ministry and went back to the world. How many know that's dangerous? I know of a man. I knew him pretty good. And this man was called to the ministry. He was used in gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he turned the call down and became an alcoholic the rest of his life until he died. And when he wouldn't be drinking, what do you think he talked about? The Lord. Amen? When he was sober, he didn't talk too much. But when he was drinking, he was talking about the Lord. That which was in him was coming out. Still yet. And so we have to be faithful. And I know of ministers who have backed up on God. Because there were problems in the home. There were problems with the children. There were problems. How many know if you're called to the ministry, you're going to have problems? You're not going to escape it, are you? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There's pressures on you. There's things that come against you. They don't come against normal people. And I'm not saying people don't go through things. There's a lot of pressures in the ministry today, isn't there? But I thank God that He called me. How about you if you've been called to the fivefold ministry, especially, okay? Now, look down to verse 10. So somebody's departing. Then in verse 11, you'll notice, he said, Luke's with me. Luke is present. Dr. Luke. He was with him. Then he said, take Mark and bring him with thee. How many know Paul had a problem with Mark one time? In fact, I believe Paul was offended because of the situation with Mark. But here he said, bring Mark with you. Praise God. For he's profitable for me for the ministry. How many believe we can be, how many know we can be a blessing to anybody? And this man was going to be profitable to Paul. Now, look in verse, look also at why he said there was another one in verse 12. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. And then he said in verse 13 to Timothy, when thou comest, bring with thee the books and the parchments. Then look at verse 14. Here's another man. He said, Alexander did something. This coppersmith did me much evil. Now, Alexander means man defender. How many know we've got a lot of men defenders today? Come on. Amen? We can be either a God pleaser, self pleaser, or man pleaser. And he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom thou be thou ware also, Timothy, for he hath greatly done something. He withstood our preaching, our words. Gang-sang spirit, antichrist spirit. He'll stand against you, Timothy, just like he did me. How many know not everybody's going to receive the word out of your mouth if you're a preacher? Amen? I'm talking about truth even. Isn't that right? Paul told the Galatians, how have I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. At one time, they would have plucked their eyes out and received, Paul. But he said, have I become your enemy? And so sometimes we make enemies and we don't mean to do that. Isn't that right? The Word of God. How many know speaks and divides? Isn't that right? Now, he said something here. In verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of what? Come on. The lion. And the Lord delivered me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Praise God. So here's a man that fought, finished, and was faithful.
There was one that departed. There was one that was present. There was one that was to be brought to Paul. And there was one that he sent out. And there was one coming to meet Paul. And there was one that did Paul much evil. Now look down to verse 20. In that same chapter. And notice here. He said the latter part, Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now Paul said that, didn't he? Paul said, I left him sick. Well, how come he wasn't healed? I don't know. Doesn't say. He said he left him sick. How many know the man that had double portion that Doc read about tonight in the Old Testament got sick and died? Elisha. But how many know there was so much fire in his bones, even when he died? Come on. When another guy was dumped in the grave, he revived. Come on. Amen? Now, you explain that. You can't. I mean, no, this is the apostle. I looked at the fivefold ministry. This is the apostle. Amen? This is the prophet. This is the evangelist. This is the shepherd. And this is the teacher. I mean, know that the apostle governs. The prophet guides. The evangelist gathers. And the shepherd guards. And the teacher grinds. So we're going to do a little grinding here tonight. Amen? Praise God. Thank God for apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Amen? You know that little finger can get right into your ear and get the wax out. Amen? How many know a teacher can get in your ear if you allow it? You know what a teacher does? He'll challenge your will. You'll have to make some decisions. Come on, amen? Praise God. We need to be challenged, don't we? Especially as it's called to the ministry as well. We need to be challenged. Praise God. The apostle is the mind of Christ. The prophet is the mouthpiece of God. The evangelist is the very heart of God. The shepherd are the eyes of God. And the teacher are the hands that train. Praise the Lord. The apostle is a sent one. A prophet is God's spokesman. The evangelist speaks the good news. How many thank God for the good news tonight? And the shepherd, of course, is to be apt to teach and watching out for the souls of people. And the teacher is the instructor. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look at the scripture there. Praise the Lord. I believe all fivefold ministers are shepherds. You know, we talk about the local shepherd. How many thank God for those local shepherds? But how many know apostles are shepherds? How many know Paul was a shepherd? The care of the church is upon him daily. Isn't that right? And so here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 27. He said, now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. Now, notice some, not everybody. How many know we've got all kinds of people saying they're apostles and prophets and teachers and shepherds and evangelists? Some of them aren't. Come on, help me now. Amen? A lot of people call themselves. But he said God has set some in the church first. Come on, first what? And yet Paul said the apostles were last, didn't he? How many know that's scripture? How many know the apostles were the offscouring of the world? How many of the apostles were not popular? Come on, help me out tonight. And then secondarily, prophets. And then thirdly, teachers. And after that, miracles and gifts of healings and helps and governments. Governments would take in, I believe, the shepherd ministry. And healings, the evangelists. But anyway, diverses of tongues. But God set them in the church. And you can read that in Ephesians as well. And I thank God tonight for apostles and prophets. But how many know, and how many believe that not every church wants apostles and prophets? They do not want every apostle and prophet. I'm talking about true ones now. And some of them have to go other places and have their own meetings. Come on, outside the church. Isn't that right many times? Because the shepherds are threatened by them. It should not be that way. God wants them in the church. And God wants to raise them up in the local church. Come on, apostles and prophets and teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. Father, I bind that spirit over this place right now in the name of Jesus. I take authority over it, and I bind that spirit right now that's hindering the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's go to Colossians 4. Colossians chapter 4. And I want you to look in verse, first of all, look down to verses 17, I believe it is. Now, here Paul is warning a brother, and he said to this brother, through others, he said, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. It's not enough to be called and know your call. You got to fulfill that ministry. Amen. And it's dangerous not to fulfill that ministry and do what God says. And so he said, this is a warning to this brother. Now, if you look back with me, look back to verse 12. He talks about a faithful one here in this church, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in what? Come on.
Prayers.
How many thank God for prayer warriors?
Amen.
For intercessors?
Amen.
For those that will stand and pray for the ministry and pray for the churches and pray for the people. And them that are in Laodicea and so forth, he says in the next verse. But he said, notice, why is this man laboring? Why is he praying hot prayers? Hallelujah. Fervently. Because that you may stand, what? Perfect and complete, come on, in all the will of God. How many know we can't without prayer? No way. And so Paul mentions him. But look at verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. Now notice, he's talking about Demas here. And yet Demas is the one who loved the world and went back to it. Amen? Now, praise God. You know, brethren, how many know we need the mind of Christ tonight? I don't care if we're a minister or not. We need the mind of Jesus. And I want to go to Philippians 2, because I got some stuff to get into. Just hang on. Uh-huh. But mainly right now, I just want to exhort those that anyone call in this place to the ministry, I want to exhort you to fulfill the ministry God put in you. Don't let circumstances and problems keep you from what God's told you to do. Okay? Chapter 2. I mean, on verse 5, he exhorts us to have the mind of Christ. And then he tells us what the mind of Christ is in verse 1 through 4. And then it's demonstrated by Jesus, verse 6 through 11. But let's look at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, or any fellowship of the Spirit. How many thank God we can fellowship the Spirit?
Amen.
Come on, amen. How many know he exalts and lifts up Jesus? Isn't that right? Any bowels and mercies. Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having, here it is, the same love, being of one accord, come on, and one mind. Amen? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Can we do that? Do we do that? Do we esteem others better than ourselves? Now, look down in the chapter. Come down to verse 19. I want to show you what Paul thought of Timothy. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus or Timothy shortly to you, that I also may have good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded. You see that word like-minded? It's the same back here that we read in verse 2. Okay? I have no man like-minded. Or actually, that Paul is really saying like me. Okay? Who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as the Son, come on, who? With who? Come on. The Father. He has served with me in the gospel. Later on, Timothy becomes an apostle, as well as Silas. And they minister with Paul together. Praise God. How many know it takes sons to come up under the father ministry? How many thank God for father ministries tonight? We need the apostles and prophets. We need those father ministries. How many know it takes years to become an apostle? You don't become an apostle overnight. One time I remember a man was arguing with the Lord. The Lord told me he was an apostle. He said, no, Lord, I'm a prophet. And they went back and forth. And finally the Lord said, you're an apostle, but you're a baby apostle in diapers. That's what he told him. How many know there's some young apostles coming up? Come on. And maybe young prophets. But we need all those that God, come on, is raising up. Amen? Praise God. How many know that flattering titles will get us nowhere? Isn't that right? You know, Job said, if I would give out flattering titles, my Maker would soon take me away. You ever read that scripture? And I tell you something, brethren. There's a lot in the church who want to dominate the people of God. Come on, lord it over. Have you ever been in those places? Amen. Control, intimidate, manipulate. We have all these masters and bishops and reverends. How many know that there's only one that's reverend? Come on, his name is Jesus.
Amen.
Don't ever put a reverend on my name. Come on, there's only one that's reverend. His name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now look in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 23. That's right. God forbid. 2 Samuel 23. Look at verse 2. 23:2. And David, right before he's dying, he's talking by the Holy Ghost. Well, now, what would we say if we had the last words to speak? Well, we don't know. But he said, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Thank God. The Spirit, notice that, and the word in my tongue. How many believe God's raising up two witnesses, the Spirit and the word in the people? The anointed word. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men. Now, this is not only the church, but even in government or wherever. Must be just and ruling, come on, help me now, in the fear of God, in the reverential fear of God. And he's going to be like a light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springs out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God. And how many know his house was not right with God? But he said something. Those that rule over men must be just and ruling in the fear of God. Now go to Exodus 18. Hallelujah. Exodus 18, 21, please. Here comes Moses' father-in-law, and he's going to give him some instruction. Moses wearing himself out from sun up to sundown. And the father-in-law saw it and gave him instruction. Look in verse 18. He said, thou shalt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. How many know a lot of pastors? I don't call them pastors. A lot of shepherds are killing themselves today. You know why? Because they're wanting to do it all. And it ain't God's order, it ain't God's way. God wants plurality of ministry. And one man cannot do it, especially if you've got large congregations. You just can't do it. And then, if you'll notice, if you'll come on down, in verse 21, here's what he says. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people, number one, able men. Number two, such as fear God. Three, men of truth. And four, hating covetousness. How many know we need some shepherds today and men of God today that are able men who fear God? Who are men of truth, come on, and who hate covetousness. We don't need any more Balaamism in the church, do we? And Judas Iscariot. And place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. Now, how many believe that the requirement is for all these guys? Same requirement, right? But the responsibility is different. How many believe if you're over 10 and one's over 100, how many know there's a different responsibility? Isn't that right? And so forth. And so we have to fear God. We have to hate covetousness and so forth that he mentions there if we're going to be called by the Lord himself. Now go to Acts 13. I'm just throwing a few things out here. Praise God. Because I didn't know I was preaching this until I got in Hot Springs. Acts 13. How many know the Holy Ghost doesn't tell us everything? When we want it. Isn't that right? You say, oh, God, give me a word. He doesn't give you nothing, you know, until his time. I mean, that's usually about the last last hour or two. Acts 13 keeps us on our toes. In Acts 13, we know, let me say it this way. In Acts 11, Paul and Barnabas were teachers. In Acts 13, they're prophets. In Acts 14, they're apostles. How many know we walk up that grade if we're called to be into the apostolic ministry? Isn't that right? You don't get through overnight. But anyway, we know the church here's the word of the Lord came and said in verse 2, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called them. And when they fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. So they were sent from the local church with hands laid on them. How many know that's a good way to do it? And look in verse 4. So being sent forth by who? Who sent them? Who sent them?
Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost. Who's going to send you? If he don't, you better not go. Come on, amen. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia and so forth. Now, You, how many know when Paul went out into ministry, him and Barnabas, as apostles, the first thing they met with was a false prophet, a sorcerer. Amen? And we know that Paul smote him blind. Now, we say God don't do anything like that. How many know Paul, by the gift of the Holy Ghost, smote him blind? Is that right? And how many know that Peter, by the gift of the Holy Ghost, spoke a word over Ananias and Sapphira? And God said in Revelation, I'll kill her children, Jezebel's. I mean, that's strong words. Amen. Get up every Sunday morning and preach something like that. You wouldn't have very many people, would you? No, you'd lose them, Doc. Amen. All right, now Paul and Barnabas were sent out. And if you will, go over to Acts 15, I believe it is. Maybe it's 14. Let's go down to Acts 14, 26. They go out and preach, Barnabas and Paul, as apostles. And verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch. This is where they left from. They're coming back to Antioch. And when they had been recommended to the grace of God, the work that was noticed, which they fulfilled at that time. And when they were come, they gathered the church together and rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and there they abode for a period of time. Otherwise, they left that church. They were sent out by that church by the Holy Ghost, with hands laid upon them, and they come back and reported what God did. How many know that's God's way? Isn't that right? It's God's way. And so we need to follow the Bible pattern. And so Paul, we know, was confronted by that false apostle there in Acts 13. Then go over to Acts 16. How many know that he was confronted again? Here, a fortune teller, a woman who had a python demon. I remember one time a python came out of a lady, and it came out of her neck, out of her head, her back, and as it came out, she was writhing back and forth. That thing was throwing back and forth. She could never see the Holy Ghost, but when that spirit came out, immediately she began to speak in tongues. She could never receive the Holy Ghost. I mean, people pray for her, right and left. And then God filled her with the Holy Ghost. How many know God knows when to do it and how to do it? Come on, amen? Praise God. And then in Acts 16, he says here, in 16:16, came to pass as we went to prayer. How many know the devils go to prayer meetings too? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And notice, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, that python spirit, notice, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. How many of those a lot of money in the occult? And the same followed Paul and us, crying, saying, these men, notice what this demon was saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Was that true? Which show unto us the way, show unto us the way of salvation, and this she did many days. So Paul didn't just jump right on it, did he? I mean, our problem sometimes is we jump too quick. Come on, don't shout me down now. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said not to the woman, come on, but to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. Well, you know the rest of the story. I don't have to tell you the rest of it. They got beat up. But they led somebody to Jesus and their family. Now, go over to Acts 19. Hallelujah. Now, how many know there's a lot of people say Christians can't have demons? How many has ever heard that in your church or wherever? Well, I want to tell you, that's a lie. It is a lie. Boy, for them to tell me that, that's too late. I got a lot of them out of me. How about you? In Acts 19, look at verse 18. And there was a revival broke out here, and people got saved. But notice, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Now notice, these are believers, right? Yeah. Next verse. Many of them which used curious arts. You look up that word, same word for busybody. A busybody is like they're practicing magic. Okay? Brought their books together and did something. Burned them before all men, and they counted the price, of course, to be 50,000 pieces of silver, so mightily grew the word of God, and prevailed. Now, I don't know how long they've been believers. But how many know there's a lot of believers still dabbing in the occult? And God wants to set them free and get that junk out of them. Isn't that right? And so these were magicians. These were those who were in the occult, and yet they were believers, and yet they came and burned all of these things, I'm sure, and renounced those things and was set free. And so they were believers. Now go up to verse in chapter 19. Go up to verse 18. I believe it is. No, it's verse 8. Verse 8. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. And Paul, it said, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning what? The kingdom of God. How many old men in the church don't know what the kingdom of God is? And yet Paul's preaching the kingdom. So did Jesus. So did John. So did the apostles. But when divers were hardened, that sounds like the church today. They don't want to hear the kingdom. Come on. And believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. Now, notice what Paul did. He departed from them, separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Now, verse 10. Notice, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Verse 11, and God did something, wrought special miracles by, come on, hands of Paul, extraordinary miracles. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought to the sick handkerchiefs and aprons. And the diseases did something. Departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. How many thank God that he set some of you free from diseases? Amen? Amen. So how many know that some people's not going to get healed until they get delivered? Healing and deliverance go together. Is that right? I've seen it, and you have too, many of you. Now, let's go over to Acts 8. I want to take you into several scriptures here on believers now. Acts 8, I want you to go up to verse 9, first of all. Acts 8, verse 9. How many know the Samaria was bewitched by sorcery? And this man, Simon, that used sorcery in the city, bewitched the people, saying that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. They were all deceived, wasn't they? How many believe that we can be deceived pretty easy sometimes? I have a friend, and I've heard him tell it. He's an apostle, I believe, of the Lord, although he don't go around saying that. But yet one time he talked, and he thought he was talking to Jesus, and he talked to the devil 30 minutes, back and forth. He thought it was Jesus, and Jesus finally told him, hey, that ain't me. How many of that shake you up right quick? Amen. Try the spirits. Now, notice something. And to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they did something, believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then you can read on about that. Now, come on down to verses. Come back down to verses 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing what? The miracles which he did. Notice the miracles. The four unclean spirits crying, the loud voices came out of many that was possessed with them. And many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. These were those who had just received Jesus. And these demons come crying out of them. How many know that many times that doesn't always happen today? It never happened to me. I got saved, had a glorious salvation experience, got filled with the Holy Ghost, but nobody told me I had any demons. How many has ever happened to anybody? Nobody ever told you that. Did anybody get delivered when you got saved? Raise your hands when you got saved. We've got a few here. Praise the Lord. Not very many. The church just don't practice that. Isn't that right? Come on, don't shout me down now. Mark 6. Mark 6. How many of them? Well, I better not use that name, but some say, well, you get it all when you get saved. Well, how many know you can get it all, but it's going to take a while. Isn't that right? Mark 6:12. Mark 6:12. Look at this now. Here the apostles go out, and they went out and preached that men should repent. I mean, that's our message today, too. And they cast out many devils. Of who? Those that repented. And anointed all with many that were sick and healed them. So those that repented were delivered and healed. Can you say amen? Praise God. Word of God's true, isn't it? Now, Mark 16. I know you know this one. Mark 16. I'm just about halfway through. Hang on. Mark 16. But how many know you cannot separate deliverance from the Word of God? Just to run out and deliver people is not the answer. You've got to give them the Word of God as well. Can you say amen? We thank God. How many know the Word of God does the work in the hearts, and the Holy Ghost, come on, takes over from there. Is that right? We need the Word and the Spirit, don't we, brother? Now look at this verse 15. Jesus said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall what? Come on, help me now. Be saved. How many thank God not you're saved in your spirit? Not all of us in our soul yet. But he that believeth believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that who? Come on, that what? That believe in my name, they shall cast out demons, they shall speak with new tongues, and they'll take up serpents. If any drink any deadly thing shall hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How many know where it says here, if you take up serpents? It means to remove serpents. Anybody want to remove any serpents out of your life? Now, you know, brethren, we tell people, well, we can speak in tongues. If you accidentally drink anything, you know, you can be healed. And we can lay hands on the sick. But how many know they skip right over that one where it says cast out devils? But that's the first sign he gave. After you believe. Isn't that right? Cast out devils. Then he said you speak with new tongues. Well, you can do it either way. But how many know it's good to come the Bible way as well? And verse 20, of course, they did exactly what Jesus told them. The signs followed them. How many thank God you're a believer tonight? Amen. And so as believers, we can do it. But our problem is we want to go get somebody else to do it for us. And I tell you, that ain't God's way. God wants you, amen, to go forth. But you better go forth with some power, not just empty hands. Come on, amen? We have to have time, spend time with God. And we have to take the message to people. Praise the Lord. Go to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Here's the church. And notice what Paul called them. Oh, foolish Galatians. Another translation said, oh, beloved idiots. Boy. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now look at that word who. Let me see that word who. Look in 5:7 just a second. Look in 5:7. He said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? But look at the margin. Who did drive you back? Anybody felt like you lost some ground? I mean, there's forces driving us back if we're not careful. Now, he says in 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? And the word bewitched, how many see the word witch? How many believe we still have witches, wizards, and warlocks in the church and in government and wherever else? Isn't that right? You know, in the Old Testament, a wizard or a witch wasn't supposed to live. How many know we can take the sword of the Spirit against them today, against that spirit? We're not fighting flesh and blood. Come on, we're not killing people today, but we can take the Word of God and come against that spirit. Isn't that right? And this church, and this word bewitched also, it also means, actually what he's saying, whose spell are you under? And how many other people under mind control tonight? They're under the spell of another one. And also it means it's connected with the evil eye. And you'll notice he said, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has already been set forth crucified among you? Now look at verse 2. This only will I learn of you, receiving the Spirit by the works of the Lord, by hearing the faith. Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Now here's why they're foolish. Having begun in the Spirit, are now made perfect by the flesh. So they left the realm of the Spirit for the carnal realm, the flesh realm. So there was somebody driving them backward. There was a spirit here that was affecting them to cause them to move out of the spirit back into the flesh. Now turn to Revelation 12. Oh, my. And I can show you many of these scriptures, not just in Revelation 12. Look at verse 4, and I know people put this in the past, but I'll tell you it's future. I know the devil fell, but in chapter 12, verse 4, it said, pardon me, his tail, and his tail is the false prophets. I want to tell you who it is. Isaiah chapter 9 tells you that. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. How many see that? Now, there are men and women who've lived in the heavenlies fall back into the earthly realm. How many know we have to maintain our place in God by our prayer life? Come on. By our love for the Lord and living for God and living in the Word. Come on. And fellowshipping and staying in the things of God. How many don't take long to get cold if you get out of the things of God? Isn't that right? What did Jesus say? I want you either hot or what? Come on. If you're in the middle, what's he going to do, brethren? He's going to vomit us out of his mouth. And so at the end of this age, their star is going to fall. Turn to Daniel 8. I'll show it again here. Daniel chapter 8. And I have to find the scripture. I'm in another Bible tonight, so that makes a difference. 10. Thank you, Brother Coffey. Okay, in 10 it says, let's go back to verse 9. And out of one of them, this big horn was broken up into four parts. Out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and towards the pleasant land. And it waxed great even in the hosts of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground. How many see that? Stars represented not only in the Old Testament Jewish people, but represented angels, but today it represents the saints of God. Did you know that? Well, study your Bible. And notice, he stamped upon them. Now, verse 11, the latter part of verse 11, notice, he cast down truth to the ground. Then in verse 13, the latter part, notice what else? It says here, the sanctuary of the host was to be trodden underfoot. That's Revelation 11. The sanctuary is to be cleansed. So there was a casting down of stars, a casting down of the truth. Look in chapter 11 of Daniel. How many believe there's an apostasy taking place in the church? We're already there. It's taking place. In chapter 11, look at verse 30. For the ships of Shittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved, and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. Notice, against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence. Now this is by psychic power. He shall have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. Now, if you forsake the Holy Covenant, how many know that's apostasy? That's turning from God. Can you say amen? And some will do it for a loaf of bread or a meal or whatever it takes. But many will turn from God. And if I get on the outer court tonight, how many know the outer court is not even measured in Revelation 11? I'm talking about people who have believed in Jesus. They're not even part of the temple. And then he said, the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Well, I will get on that right now. But it's important that we see something. Now, I want to take you to another scripture here in the Old Testament, and then I want to come back and go to Revelation. Let's go to Samuel. 2 Samuel 18 now. How many believe we can get ahead of the Lord? In 2 Samuel 18, David's son had died. And there's a young man going to run and take the news, and another man's going to run, take the news. And the young man in verse 19 in 2 Samuel 18 is Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. He said, let me now run and bear the king's tidings, how that the Lord avenged him of his servants. And Joab said to him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt not bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast. How many believe there's people running on hot air? No dreams, no visions, come on, nothing. And they're out there running. But here's a man who had seen something. The other one hadn't. And Cushai bowed himself to Joab and ran. He reverenced this man. And he's running now, but he's running with the word. Then said Ahimaaz, the king of, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, and notice that word howsoever, be as it may, he said, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherewith thou shalt run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready. You don't have anything to say. But howsoever said unto him, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran, and notice, by the way, the plain, and overran Cushai. I want you to notice the young out around the old. How much good to have zeal, but you better have some knowledge with it. And David sat between the two gates and so forth, and here come the men running. Well, the young man didn't have anything to say. In fact, yet Cushai came and told him that the son had died. And so, if you're going to run, you better run with a message. You better run with what God's put in your spirit. Amen? Don't run because because you went to Bible college. I mean, I went to Bible college, but I want to tell you something. I wasn't ready to run even though I got out of Bible college. I mean, it's not, if God tells you to go to Bible college, that's fine. But how many know some people, God's told them not to go to some of them? You know what the best Bible college is? Would you like to know where it's at? It's under apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. That's the best one that the Holy Ghost is teaching through. Can you say amen? Amen. Now let's go over to Revelation 15. Can we go there? I believe we can. Praise God. Now, what did Paul say a while ago? We started out, we read tonight, I have fought, what? And I finished my course, and he was faithful because he kept the faith. Now, I'm going to show you people that did that at the end of this age. Okay? I'm not saying they're fivefold ministry. It could be a combination of the fivefold as well as people. But look in Revelation 15. Anybody want to fight a good fight tonight? Anybody want to finish your course? Anybody want to be faithful to God? Amen. Praise God. In chapter 15, notice he says something. I saw another sign in heaven. Well, he saw one in chapter 12. Now he's seeing another one. Great and marvelous, seven angels. How many know the seven angels in Jesus' hand over in Revelation? He's holding those in his hand. Remember in chapter 1? And there's seven angels here. One of these angels I know are redeemed, and I believe they're all redeemed, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But he said, seven angels having seven last plagues. For in them is filled up what? Come on. Wrath of God. Notice, in them, in those plagues, those bowl or vial judgments are filled up the wrath of God. Filled up. How many believe God's wrath is real just like his love is real? And how many believe that wrath is going to hit the wicked? And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingle with fire. You're talking about judgment. You're talking about trials, testings. Here it is. But then he said, and them that have gotten the victory. Now, to get the victory, you got warfare. Is that right? You got warfare. To get the victory, you're going to go through some things. You're going to go through fire, aren't you? To become the fire, you go through fire. And over his image, victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having something. The harps of God. Praise God. Four times he says they came over something. How many know that's a revelation? When God says it that many times, there's a revelation there. Now, how many believe that you cannot overcome the beast, the mark, the number, and the name, and so forth, until you have the mind of Jesus Christ? How many know a man with a carnal mind will not overcome this? Is that right? Amen. So that means we've got to grow up in the Lord. Is that right? Now, how many know the mark of the beast is 6? Come on. 666. What is man's number? How many know man's perfection is 6, but it's imperfection, isn't it? Man's perfection is 6, but yet it's imperfection. How many know that there's spirit in us, soul, body, carnal believing, carnal thinking, and carnal strength. Amen? Now, so they got victory over something here. Praise God. Now, you see they're singing. Look down in that chapter 15. You'll notice in verse 3, they're singing the song of Moses. And also, they're singing the song of the Lamb. How many know they had a victory song to sing here? Huh? Because they had overcome. How many believe every victory you get and you overcome, you got a song in your heart. Isn't that right? You got a shout. How many of those shout of kings should be among us tonight? Some of us, we've got great victories. Amen? I know he brought me through a great from great depression, 15 years of walking in depression. I thank God for that victory. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, I want to go to Ezekiel just a minute. Praise God. Hope you're not getting tired. In Ezekiel 1, he gives a picture of these living creatures here somewhere. In verse 10, he sees these living creatures, and I'm not going to go on. That's a tremendous teaching to get into right there. He said, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. How many see that? Now let's go up to chapter 10. Chapter 10. Now I got to find it here too. It's chapter 10 somewhere. I want to show you something about these faces again. Look in verse 14. Chapter 10, verse 14. And everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. The second, the face of a man. The third, the face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. Now, what was changed from chapter 1 to chapter 10? The ox to the cherub. He went from an ox to a cherub. Okay? Then we'll see a final change in Revelation in just a minute. Praise God. Now, I take those four things and teach the soul. The mind, the will, the emotions, and the desires. Okay? Now, how many know that we need a lot of teaching on the soul? Do you believe that? Now, let's think about the lion. With the lion, I'll put emotions, okay? How many know that the lion is very wild, is very fierce? Do you ever hear the testimony I heard in Chicago one time of a man who was preaching, and this lion had broke out, and he'd killed some animals and killed a few people, and he came to where this great gathering was. And as they all prayed, lightning came out of the sky, hit the lion, killed him, and the man finished his preaching right on that lion's corpse. And that's a true story. Emotions can be very wild, can't they? Come on, help me now. Anger and fear will open you up to demons. Can you say amen? Fierce, brutal, merciless. We know a lion is that way in the natural. It tears its prey, destroys rather than makes whole. And that's where our emotions is. But how many know tonight our emotions needs to come under? Come on. The roaring lion out of the tribe of Judah. His name is Jesus. Can you say amen? And then there is the mind, the flying eagle that he saw here, the eagle. How many know that our mind flies out in all directions with high mindedness and these thoughts that we fight constantly, daily? We know it's real. But how many know God wants to change our mind? And you know what he said in Exodus 19? He said to Israel, I bore you up on eagle's wings. And I want to tell you, we need to come out of the great eagle tonight. Let him do a work in our mind. Amen? And then, of course, the will was the ox, stubborn as a ox. And it was changed to the cherub. Now, the cherub, there was no cherubs in the outer court. There was no cherubs in the holy place except on the veil. But there was two cherubs, come on, there over the ark. Isn't that right? Looking one towards another and yet towards the mercy seat. And that's where God communed with Moses. He said, I'll meet you there. Praise God. And yet in Revelation, now turn to Revelation 4, we see there was a change here again. If you look in chapter 4, first we saw the ox, then we saw the cherub. Now, if you look in chapter 4, if I can find it here, chapter 4, verse 7, thank you. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf. Notice, calf. How many see that? Third beast like the face of a man, and the third one was a flying eagle. How many know that a calf is humble and he sucks milk? How many believe that our will needs some humility? Amen? How many know Jesus was full of humility? Amen. And God filled him with grace. Hallelujah. He gives grace to the humble, but to resist the proud. Isn't that right? We need the crowd. God, give me humility in my will. And then the last one was, the last face was what? The face of a man. And that's our desires. How many know man can desire good and evil at the same time? Is that right? And we can build nice homes and live comfortably and yet build machinery that destroys mankind. Isn't that right? You know, Speed. But how many know, brethren, how many know that man needs to come under the Son of Man, Jesus, and be changed? Can you say amen? In our wills. Praise God. Now, it said they overcome. Back to Revelation 15. What did they overcome? What did it say they overcome? The beast. They overcome the beast, the image, the mark, and the number of the name, of his name. Now, praise God. Notice that verse. They overcome, again, the number of his nature. How many know names and nature? I said names and nature. Yeah. When God changed Jacob's name, did he give him a new nature?
Yeah.
When God changed Abraham, did he give another nature? When God changed Peter, did he give another nature? How many know we're battling a nature tonight? There's two natures. Come on, God and the enemy. Isn't that right? Now look up to chapter 13 of Revelation and verse 17 and 18. Now I know you spend hours in these things, and Speed's going to get into all these maybe. Well, I love to teach them, but there's a lot here. Look in chapter 13, verse 17 and 18. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name or the nature of the beast. Or the number of his nature. I said we're dealing with a nature. Hallelujah. Now, look in 14:11 of Revelation. And there's a long things I should read here, a lot of scripture, but verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast. Remember, they overcome the beast. You know why? They didn't worship the beast. I mean, it wasn't in their heart to worship this beast. Come on, they worship the true God. Isn't that right? How are you going to overcome the beast? By not worshiping the beast, by worshiping God. Is that right? And his, what else? His image, and whosoever receives the mark of his nature. They overcame a nature, brother. Revelation 13, they would not worship that beast. Look over in Revelation 13. Would you do that? Verse 4. 13:4. How many know people are scared to death about the mark of the beast? But how many know we ought to be scared if we don't know Jesus? 13:4. And they worship the dragon which gave power to the beast, and they also worship the beast. Their hearts was in this thing, to worship that dragon and the beast. Now look down with me. Look down with me, please. In verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How many is glad tonight your names are in the book? If you're in the book, you stay true to God, you're not going to worship. Come on, that dragon or that beast. You hear me? I don't plan on doing it. I want to worship the Lord. Amen? So they overcome. They overcome that name. They overcome that number. They overcome that mark and that image. Why? Because they have the nature of Jesus in them. Isn't that right? Look in Revelation 20. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Revelation 20. I'm about done. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. How many see that? You know why they didn't worship the beast? Because they had Jesus in them. You know what? You know who these are right here? They're overcomers. You know who those are in 15? They're overcomers. Notice, neither his image, they wouldn't worship that. Neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Somebody's not going to worship that beast. Amen? They're going to be faithful. They're going to fight the fight of faith. Isn't that right? They're going to finish their course. And they've got a song to sing. Hallelujah. because they will overcome the beast, the mark, the name, and the all that nature. And I can show you another in Hebrews, same thing. Same scripture I can show you in Hebrews. How that we've got there's two natures, Jesus or that spirit of the Antichrist. Praise God. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Don't let fear take you over in this hour. The greater one's in us. Can you say amen? He's going to see us through. He's going to take us through. If we're going to be overcomers, we'll worship the true God, not the false one. Amen. Praise God. Father God, we thank you tonight for this day and this night. We thank you for your word. Father, if there are those here tonight who have been short and slack in their calling, we pray for them right now, Lord, that you would help them to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to give an altar call tonight. Those who've been called to ministry and you've been slack, you've been you've cut God short, and you want to come repent and renew your vow to the Lord, not to me or man, then I want you to come, and I want to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. If God's called you to a ministry and you have not been faithful to do what God told you to do, maybe you've been hindered by some obstacle or some circumstance, then you come, okay? We're going to pray for you. Obey the Holy Ghost. We're going to wait on you. I know there's some here. God wouldn't tell me to minister this message tonight. Praise God. We're not just out to get numbers up here, but I want those that God has spoken to, those that have not been faithful to the Lord, to obey the call of God in you, whatever that call is. We're not shaming you or putting you down, but we want to pray for you that you'll get to the place where you can obey God. Amen? Praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, speak to those that are here tonight, Lord, to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I know there's others here. Just come right up. Obey God. Obey the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. It's easy to give into the flesh, give into the family, give into circumstances, to give into anything that would keep you from doing the will of the Father. And that's more important than anything. Praise the Lord. Just come right on up here a little closer, please. Come on up a little closer. Anyone else? We're going to wait another minute here. Obey the Holy Ghost. That's it. Praise the Lord. I feel there's a couple more here. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him. Amen. Let's praise Jesus tonight. I want you to reach your hands out to these precious people here tonight. I'm not over here, my brother. Praise God. That's it. Just come on, obey God. That's right. Amen. We bless you, Lord. Now I want the ministers that are here, Brother Speed and Sister Annie and Doc and Bill and Peggy and Brother and Sister Coffey. I want you to come up behind these people and I want you to begin to pray. Ask them what they're, why they're coming for and start praying for them. Pray deliverance over them. Break soul ties. Break things over them. And that they'll be obedient to God. Praise God. Amen. Just begin to pray for them, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir, brother. Praise God. God bless you.
I was just calling my life. I've been backslid. I've been so long.
Are you backslid tonight?
No, I'm not backslid.
Oh, you're back.
I've been backslid.
But you know, he's called you to the five. Has he called you the fivefold ministry? You know, or do you know what ministry it is?
I've been told by various people, like prophets and what other else. Called in evangelist for
mm-hmm.
a strong healing ministry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So, Father God, touch our brother tonight. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we break every stronghold off of him, Lord. We loose him right now, Father God. We curse every attack against this man. Father God, all those times of backsliding, we rebuke that spirit, Father. We cut off every attraction of the world, all idolatrous spirits, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I break it off of him. And Father, I ask obedience of our brother, Lord, tonight, that he be obedient to the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, he fulfill that call that you put on him, Lord God, in Jesus' name. If you call him to be, Lord, in the ministry, that God, he'll be obedient, He'll serve you, Lord, with all of his being. And, Lord, no demon, no devil, no spirit at all, Father, would hinder this brother from obeying you and doing what you told him to do, Lord. We cut off every stronghold. Now, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. I want you to cough it out. Any stronghold there right now, disobedience. In Jesus' name, I want you to cough it out right now. In Jesus' name. come out of all disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. I break your power and all idolatry and all that disobedience right now. I break it off of you right now in Jesus' name. And I just speak, I say, call it out in the name of Jesus. Are you a smoker? Are you a smoker? Okay, Father God, I break the power of that smoking habit. I ask you to deliver my brother, Lord. We don't condemn him, but we ask you to deliver him, Father. We ask the Holy Spirit to set him free, Father God, from all habits, all things of the flesh, Father, in the name of Jesus, all those habits. Indeed, we break all mind control off of him. We break the power of mind control and all spells off of him, Father, and the curses, hexes, and vexes, Lord, that's hindered him from coming on in and doing the will of God. We break the power of those things off of him. Now we loose him. We loose him from these things, Father. Father, I ask the Holy Spirit begin to move upon him. I ask you to fill him new and afresh with the Holy Ghost and power. It's come out in Jesus' name. All that stuff, come out of it. Loose him in Jesus' name. Loose him in Jesus' name. Come on. Come out of it. Come out of it. Come out of it. All that pent-up stuff in there, come out of there in Jesus' name. All those demonic forces in him, come out of there. Come out of him, Jesus. All that backsliding, things that come into him when he backslid, come out of him in Jesus' name. We break your power. We break your power. We put the blood of Jesus against those spirits. We put the blood of Jesus against disobedience. We put the blood of Jesus against every attack against my brother. Lord God, help him to be totally, completely obedient to you, Lord God. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Set him free in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Come out of him.
Let him go. Say, Lord Jesus, deliver me from every spirit. I command them to come out of me right now. All disobedient spirits, all strongholds, name of Jesus. All curses, I break all curses over your life. Name of Jesus. See, you're getting some, you're sweating. Name of Jesus. All right, now, right now, when I break those curses, I want you to take a deep breath. I break those curses over you right now in Jesus' name. I break those, I go back 10 generations. I go back while you're in the womb. I break 10 generations off of you in Jesus' name. All drug habits, that spirits of drug and alcohol. I break those drugs and alcohol off of you. Right now, come out. Come out. All the desire for Jesus, come out, Lord. Come out in Jesus' name. All drugs, come out. I break those curses of drugs. I break your power, Satan, over you. You cannot have him. He belongs to Jesus. He belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't want them to stay any longer. All that rebellion, come out of him. Come out of him. Lose him now in Jesus' name. I break your power off of this man. We set him free in the name of Jesus from all drugs. All drugs, all for all that desire for those drugs in the name of Jesus. Lucy and Jesus. Okay, name of Jesus. I break that witchcraft and divination off of all that. That's all right. The outside is such stuff you take. Come out of your mouth.
Come out
in uncleanness. Come out of
Simon.
We break all uncleanness off of him in Jesus' name. All ungodly uncleanness. Come out of it. Come out of his mouth. Come out of his tongue. Come out of his lips. Come on. Come on. Come out of it. Come out of there. Run out of Jesus and all of it. Jesus' name. Jesus, come out of it. That's it. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
All your conniving and lying spirits.
Amen. That's right.
Come out of him, Jesus.
Come in all lying spirits.
Lying, conniving.
Come out of it. Come out of all lying spirits in Jesus' name. 2 minutes ago in Jesus' name. Break the power of all lies. Come against him right now in Jesus' name. We speak truth. We speak truth. Every assignment against him right now, we loose him in Jesus' name. Every assignment against him. Say, I receive you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Come on. Come on. You're all right. That's all right. That's part of this deliverance, okay? We've all done things. Name of Jesus. I break all that hyperventilation. Jesus' name. Name of Jesus. All fear. Break all fear in Jesus' name. All fear. Fear. Loose it. All fears come out of him in Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you that he's going to be set free before he goes back home this weekend. He's going to desire to be set free. In Jesus' name. in Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To move in his heart. Amen. And life. We thank you for it, Father. And we
would
thank
you. Would you ever feel the Holy Ghost when you come? You want God to share your prayers together? Just say, Lord, fill me in the Holy Ghost.
Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Say, Jesus, I thank you for filling me. Thank you, Lord, for receiving. Thank you for the ministry you've given. Help me to be obedient, Lord. Lord, help me to hate the world, the spirit of the world. Help me to hate rebellion. Amen, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.